My goal is not to teach you how perfectly and without flaw to believe in God. My goal is to teach you how perfectly and without flaw God believes in you. It is not how much you believe in God that will revolutionize life. Your belief in God will make you a fake and a phony. That's about the best it's going to do for you. Make you mad at those that disagree with you. Because it's your righteousness. You remember those days. My. You folks in this room have been through nothing less than what could be described as hell on earth. There is no one who could take the times of suffering in your life, the tears, the anguish, the grief. You've never seen me act out my grief. And believe me, you would never want to see it either. I get angry in my grief. I want to beat things up. I want to put my fist through the wall in my grief. I want to scream at the top of my lungs. I don't do that in public. But I've done it on a long, dark night. And I know you have too. But the very same ones of us who have screamed in pain alone have the power to resurrect your life from the dead because of the one who resurrected us with him 2,000 years ago and placed inside of us the ministry of reconciliation. There is no church service who's ever truly taught what you really possess. Oh, I know, I was taught the authority of the believer in the Word of Faith movement. But you see, they never got rid of the underlying feelings of unworthiness and guilt and sin and failure and measuring up. So they never taught me anything about authority. They taught me about being a fake and having a loud voice at difficult times. Authority? No. Folks, when you can pick yourself up out of your tragedy and walk on, that's authority. We have Mark with us here, one of my favorite people around here. Louis was on the board with the Grace Conferences and always made sure that you guys had a place to come to. He was one of those people. Both of them did. And it seemed like overnight Louis was diagnosed with something, you know, with his brain tumors, wasn't it? And the loss was so sudden. I mean, it was just a few weeks. How long was it from the time you found out? About 6 weeks. And where do you go from there? how do you measure? You know, was it God's will? Was this part of the plan? What do you do with all of that? Folks, it's called life. It's called life. And if you can accept life for life, you have the power to make it through life. If you spiritualize everything that happens in your life, you will paralyze yourself at some point and not be able to move one step further because you're afraid you're going to mess up spiritually again and it's going to cause something like this to happen again. You can't do it. You can't do it. I still believe you're kings and priests. I believe you have all things that pertain to life and godliness. I believe these things about you. You look terribly unassuming. For me, this process of my freedom has been the most paramount part of it. Being free to have sex anytime I wanted to, it gets boring. Being free to do whatever you want to, whenever you want to, yeah, that's great. But folks, I tell you, the thing that has impacted my life the most is being freed from somebody telling me that God was in control of my life. And that when I realized He was not in control of my life, it made me love Him more. Because I knew He trusted me. I knew He valued me. I knew He had equipped me. But even my failures can carry no implication as to what my relationship with God is. Because a failure may just look like a failure at the moment. Remember, folks, there's always another page to turn. And until you can't see and you can't read and you can't breathe, keep turning the pages. Keep turning the pages. You are a powerful people. You are a righteous people. You are a holy people that God Himself says He created you in His image. You say, well, Michael, now that's just going to create arrogance in people. Let me tell you something. When you realize the plan by which God brought this about in your life, there is no possible way that it would create the slightest degree of arrogance in your life. You're free. And it's not a faux freedom. It's not an imaginary freedom. It's not a freedom where the yes, buts, ifs, ands, and maybes exist. You have been set free. Good news? Good news. We'll pick up with this a little bit later tonight. Right now, before we go on, Vic and I, and I think all of you guys, want to join in on putting an offering, a gift, if you will, into this ministry. Folks, you say, well, what do you want with our money, Michael? What I want with your money is to be able to tell as many people on this planet that I can about this. But you see, please let me reassure you, there is something in my heart that knows that these types of meetings is how I'm going to live out my life. But it's not how many of those who are hearing me are going to live out their lives. I'm happy the way things are. I really am very happy But I think that it is so vitally important that the small numbers that I do reach, there are people already who are taking up the cause, if you will, and who feel this in their heart to reach into areas that I have never reached into and never will reach into. I'm happy. I'm happy to be where I am. I'm happy to do what I do. In fact, I'm a little more than happy about it most times. So I'm asking for your money, point blank. Let me say something to you you've probably never heard in another church service or ministry before. God does not support ministries. People support ministries. So if you're waiting on God to tell you how much to give or something, you know, don't use, well, I didn't hear anything, so no. You place value on what you have heard. You know, and the people that even say that, you know, that I even hear say that to me, how in the world do you explain the Mormon church and the Catholic church being some of the wealthiest churches? Is God supporting their ministries? That's his people. People who are persuaded that what they're saying is true. But what is the motivation for them to give? Fear and guilt. Now, if you feel the slightest degree of me imposing any degree of guilt or fear on you about giving, please keep your money. You should not give. But if you are in a position to make a difference, and let me tell you something, $5 makes a difference, folks. And a lot of times it's just the consistency of the $5. But I really want to appeal to you to become a part of this, not just a bystander who comes to listen, but somebody who gets involved financially. You might say, well, Mike, you do what you do, but I don't do that. But see, I do this. And you can help me do it. So whatever you decide, it is because you have the power to choose what you are going to do. It is not because God is supporting Mike Williams Ministries and therefore you feel moved to do this, that, or the other. It's because you make a choice. That's how much like God you are. You can make checks out in any amount. There's no upper limit. We haven't set a ceiling. We've not set a minimum. Either way, you can make, as we've explained to you, make it out to Grace Conferences this year. Thank goodness you'll be able to get a receipt for that. Some of you have expressly let me know that getting that receipt just is not important to you. And some people, it wouldn't help as far as taxes. I don't know how it works here, but I mean, if it figures into your taxes, it's based on how much you make anyway, so I don't know how all of that works. But you guys know that Grace Conferences offers a receipt. I do not. So you can make that contribution through Mike Williams Ministries or Grace Conferences. If you make it out to Mike Williams Ministries, it's just MWM, and please put above the numeral part of the value of your check, please put USF above it, and that way we don't have to pay for the transition. But we're aware that it would go through in U.S. funds instead of Canadian funds, all right? All right, let's do that. Anybody need an envelope for what you are about to do? And I'm warm again in here. I don't know about you guys, but I'm... Oh, you're okay. Thank you. Thank you, guys. I had a blast today. I don't know about you, but this was... Thank you so much. This is one of those parts of those things that has been brewing inside of me for about a year, actually. And as you guys know, I'm a little slow, so it takes me a while to catch up. But I know the value of when a understanding begins to come to your heart, the value of waiting and seeing how that begins to pan out. But I always like trying it on you guys first. So, all right. First thing I would like to do is ask you guys some questions. I would like to know, how does this hit your heart? I'm not looking for a certain answer. If it is unsettling to you, but rings true or doesn't ring true, so you're still settled with where you were, if it answered some questions, if it confused the daylights out of you, I'm not looking for a certain answer. I'd really like to hear how this affected you, because I'm going to be sharing this with other people around the world, and if nothing else, just by virtue of this CD that we've just done. So tell me what this has done. What's give me some reflection back here. You feel empowered by it? Wonderful. Okay. Is there anybody that it resolved some things for you? Put them in the right place. Okay. Very good. Yes. Eye-opening and takes away some more guilt. Boy, aren't we glad to get rid of a little bit more of that stuff. Jeez. Thank you very much.
I was in a Bible study years ago, and we actually wanted to study on this issue. And so in scriptures, we call God's stream and man's stream.
Yeah.
And I still came away not knowing, just simply because there were so many scriptures that seemed to appear that God was in control of everything.
Yes.
And then there was the other side where it made it look like you said today you were making the choices.
Yeah.
So I don't know that we came to a conclusion.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing, though, that both are right and the dividing line was the cross? That God did predestine everything. He predestined births. He predestined certain people to be in certain people's lives and to be certain kings and certain this and certain that to bring about Jesus. So the predestination, see, and that's the reason that a lot of these things become complicated is because we try to come, we forget the dividing point of the cross. We forget the twinkling of an eye. That things changed, that something happened so drastically, so quickly, that by human observation you couldn't notice that it happened. These are understandings that come to the heart, not things that you're able to perceive by observation. Just like the kingdom of God. Remember, Jesus said that you'd never be able to see the kingdom of God with your eye. And what's the church waiting for? The kingdom of God to descend out of heaven, set down in Jerusalem, and we're all going to go there and visit. You know, and when Jesus made it very clear that the kingdom of God would never, ever be seen with the human eye. But we just skip over that and keep looking. You know? It's nice to have those searches over with also.
I think it all ties in, Mike, too. You know, like you always say, is do good, get blessed, and do bad, get beaten.
Yeah.
And we've got that mentality. You know, we've developed that mentality through our Christian
absolutely.
And it's so refreshing to hear it over and over.
Thank you, Vic, very much. One of the questions, and of course as I go through these changes of thought and insight, I always have people that I bounced off of, and then I listen to their objections, and that one of them has been, well, you're just saying that God has just left us here and abandoned us to chance. And, you know, when you begin to realize the power of deciding and choice, how could we say we're left to chance? Now, there's a whole lot of life that is just chance. That's for sure. Not all of your choices and decisions, you're not experiencing everything you chose and decided. Now, there is that group that teaches you that. It's called karma. It's called what is the thing that draws everything from the universe? You draw everything to
laws of attraction.
It's not that. You see, we're so desperate to explain everything that's happened, we will spiritualize it. We'll get somebody's box to spiritualize this. And with Buddhism and a whole lot of other really wonderful belief systems, they say, well, everything that happens is based on karma. And then you get, well, now it's law of attraction. Well, let me tell you something. If everything attracted to me bad that I've ever had negative thoughts about, you'd be seeing knives flying through the windows at me right now. I wouldn't be able to ride in a car, much less think about getting on an airplane. But you see, once we clear our minds, and I believe that we need to be freed from the thoughts of the issues of karma and laws of attraction as much as we need to be freed from the religion that we've been delivered from. Now, folks, this whole thing is moving in another direction. They have rebranded religion and taken the name of Jesus out of it, and they don't know they're preaching the same law that was always preached in the church in the first place. They're still preaching the very same thing. Now, it is not that your actions and deeds... If you're a nice person, you're likely to draw nice people to you. But you know what? If you're a nice person, you might draw a criminal to you too, by virtue of the fact you're too nice. Right? So you see, it is when we begin to put absolute definitions to these things. But you see, for every person who's kind and nice, that person needs wisdom about dealing with the people that are drawn to their lives. Your being kind and nice doesn't always draw everybody nice to you. Your doing nice things doesn't always get back nice things happening to you. There's people who've opened their doors to people to help them and give them a home and a family, and they've murdered them. So you see, to say that these are laws, and see, that's what they can't get away from. They can't get away from the term laws. They can't even say these are principles that we can live by. Do I believe there are principles that we can live by? Yes, but you better well draw on the wisdom that's on the inside of you as you live by those principles. Because if you think that there is a set of ways that doing, acting, thinking, and feeling is going to make everything drawn to your life to be good, you are going to be an unsuspecting victim, and probably sooner than later. Okay. You had a question? Oh, okay. Yes.
I guess there's some tugging and uncertainty as to... like so-called bad things that happen in the world and prayer and where's our part, you know, like is there nothing that we can do, I guess, without doing something? You know,
I think that's a good way to put it. There's nothing we can do without doing something.
Yeah, I mean, in the hospital and
oh, no.
Prayers like across the country. And,
yeah.
Like, I guess, I mean, my words are usually just God, your grace. But is there a grace?
Absolutely.
The cross? Is there, you know...
Oh, absolutely. We're all under grace past the cross. But the thing, and all I think I can tell you, now these are parts that we begin to work out for ourselves. But let me tell you what my prayer life consists of. My prayer life consists of, thank you, Jesus. I am so grateful. I am thankful for what you've done. I am thankful that you redeemed me. I thank you that wisdom and knowledge dwells in me. I thank you that you have placed me in a life where that choices abound, and where that even a decision in my life can raise something from the dead that I didn't even know I could possibly do. And sometimes I come to those decisions at the end of the most difficult period of my life. So it's really just thankfulness. The one thing that I do know, and folks, whatever you believe about praying, keep doing it until you change your mind. I'm not trying to change anybody's mind about how you pray. I do know that if prayer, what's the word, worked, there certainly wouldn't be, just because Mike Williams lives on this earth, there wouldn't be the number of suffering children who are being molested at this moment right now if my prayers worked. Because I have watched, I was a victim of childhood molestation, as most of you know, from the age of 5 until I was 11 years old. And now, and then of course I raised my children and told them all of the things, you know, just, you know, this is what you do. I made my children so aware of pedophilia and what these people do. And then it was me who greeted a man into my home to be the husband of my oldest daughter, who started using my baby girl when she was 8 years old. So, and then I've actually had, now, this is one of the things that kind of began shaping this to where I could say it better, because I had some of those, and I'll just be honest with you, I had some of those freaks of the laws of attraction try to tell me that it was something that I did that drew that into my family. Sorry. End of conversation. Freak, go home. Yeah. Somebody else thinks you're wonderful, but I do not. And it causes so much bondage in people's lives. You see, I believe, see how any religious concept places blame on you that is not yours, but it releases you from dealing with the responsibilities that you do have. It does just the opposite. It's just so bizarre how it does that. But let me tell you, people who have answers for what happened for what happened to you and why, you know, you might listen to dogs bark, you know. Because if you don't know what happened to you and why, nobody else does. Okay? And if you know, then you can do something about it, you do something about it. But let me tell you something, don't wait for somebody else to get a revelation about you and what's wrong with you and why you're going through this stuff. They don't know a thing. And if God wants to have you to understand something like that, then I certainly believe that He's big enough to give you that information. Now here's another point, and that is the involvement of the Holy Spirit. See, I do believe that the Holy Spirit is active in our daily lives. Not planning our daily lives, but I think that the Holy Spirit is there to help us be aware during the time of choice and decision. But here's the awesome thing about the Holy Spirit. He never runs out of options for you. Never does run out. You're not, you know, this isn't something, oh my God, I knew in my heart I was supposed to do it that way, and I didn't do it, so, but you see, on the other side of that option that didn't work because you feel that you didn't listen, whatever that means, there's another choice. See, there's not a set plan. The deadly rigidness of believing that God has a plan for your life, and you're either off the course this way, off the course that way, but your whole life is going through what it's going through because God or the Holy Spirit's trying to get you back on the path. Let me tell you, there are more paths that you could take that would be greatly, greatly blessed lives than you know how to count. This is not a one plan is the only one that is for you. I cannot tell you as a Bible teacher why, with what I do, and as broke as I have become by doing it, the freedom of knowing I could choose not to do it, and God would not be the slightest bit upset or offended, and the Holy Spirit would not be thrown a curveball as to what do I do with Mike Williams now. That's not going to happen. But do you realize, knowing that I have the choice, the power it gives me to keep doing what I do? But see, I'm empowered because I do have a choice. It always really bugged me, you know, when I heard ministers get up and say, you know, I had no choice. And it's like, wow, I must not be called at all because I got one, you know. And I do have a choice. Now, I know what makes me happy, and I know where my heart fits. And I think you see that it's really obvious where my heart fits. So it's easy for me to make the choice. I do admit the choice for me is easy. And I know that there are other choices that are a bit more difficult. But I don't know why that finances is not that big of a thing to me. I don't understand that part of me. I don't condemn people who that making finances and gaining money seems to be the central goal and pursuit of their lives. I think it's quite all right. It's just not me. And having it and not having it for me revolves around one thing, and that is my freedom to do what I do pertaining to the gospel. And I know that there's other people who have gifts and talents to make money, and I hope they make a lot and give it to Mike Williams Ministries. So, so you know, I'm not judging anybody's walk and the motivation that an individual feels as to what they do well. Don't ever try to. There are many people you can emulate as far as the character by which they do what they do, but never try to imitate. You are that unique. Don't ever try to imitate what someone else has done. Okay? All right. Yes. Yes. That's so awesome. I would have come all the way up here just to hear you say that, for sure. All right. Love you guys. We'll be back here tonight at 7 o'clock. And for those of you that freak out by cracking nails, I'm sorry I did that. Somebody got my bucket of money. Where is it?
What do we do?
What do we do? Where's the guilty party? Oh, I thought she was getting up to run with it. thank you guys, and I know that every time I come to Canada, that all you guys do everything that you can financially to help me do this. And and the people who are going to listen to this know around the world that you're the guys that I rely on so very much. And it's not just for financial support, but like I said, you guys have been with me through what do they call it, hell and high water. And and we've hung in there, haven't we?
How many years since the convention center, the first time you came to Edmonton?
The convention center in Edmonton. Ooh.
You've just been on it's a new day.
I was on New Day a lot back then, yeah.
Yeah, the first time to Edmonton.
And you'd have to ask somebody else. Anybody here know when that...
I remember listening to you on It's a New Day.
Okay, so I was on It's a New Day. So I know I'd done a... Oh, we got a box. There we go. All right. That's in French. I don't even know what kind of box it is. Oh, there's the... Garbage bags. It's a garbage bag box. That shows you that there's treasure in earthen vessels, eh? Even cardboard ones. All right. Yes. That's somebody else's treasure. All right. Well, I had a blast. This is, you know, and you guys have heard me say this before. I'm glad you were here because I had a good time and glad you got to enjoy it too. Because this to me was wonderful. I got to, there was just this, it was like it was right here and I was unsure of how to articulate all of the stuff that was packing up here and in my heart. And so at least we got a good start on it anyway. Thank you guys so much for letting me use you.